goes back and forth between the doctrinal and the experiential. Often those two things don't line up in our Christian lives, right? Doctrinally, we are sinless. Experientially, we sin all the time. Doctrinally, we're justified. Experientially, we still are not just in our behavior. And so tonight, Paul, more than any other passage in Romans, opens up about his own personal struggle with sin, which we all have. And it reveals to us that Paul was human like the rest of us. Amen? Oftentimes when people think about or look back at Paul, they think he was superhuman in some way or a super Christian. And he was a great Christian and a great missionary and church planter, but he was human like we are, and he made mistakes like we do, and he struggled with sin like we do. And in this passage, he opens up about that struggle, which is an encouragement to us to know that the struggle that we face every day is real, and it's very common. Everybody faces it, this battle with the flesh, the battle with the world, the battle with the devil. So Romans 7, verse 7 is where we'll begin tonight. And we will learn so much. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So I've entitled it, O Wretched Man That I Am. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're blessed to be here to open your word together and learn together. And may that happen tonight. May we learn more about this daily battle that we have with our flesh. And Lord, how to overcome it through the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. But also, Lord, may we just open our hearts to hear from you tonight, that, Lord, we might be changed by the Word of God's power. We commit this service to you. May you be glorified in it and guide us in your truth. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul here is saying that we must be slain by the law, if you will, to be saved. Which is what he said in the beginning part, isn't it? Verse 7, I had not known sin, but by the law. So he said, it's the law that revealed to me that I am a sinner. which we read in Galatians that, sure enough, the law is referred to as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So the law was never given to save us. The law was given so that we could be unsaved, so that we could see our need for salvation, which is, of course, only available through God. Verse 8, he says at the end of the verse, without the law, sin was dead. In other words, I needed the law to show me that I am wicked. And so in these first four, five verses here, he says basically, we must come face to face with the law, with our sinfulness. It has to start there, which it does, doesn't it? When we witness to a lost person, we always start right at what? Sin. Man is a sinner. All have sinned. And because of our sin, we deserve to be punished for being sinners, for breaking God's law, which is to perish in hell. We always start there. We don't start with, hey, I've got a free ticket to heaven. Would you like one? No, we start with sin. That's what Jesus did with the woman at the well, isn't it? He began to ask about her husband's, knowing what the situation was because he knew everything. So to get saved, we first must be slain by the law. We must be shown that we are wicked, that we are sinners, that we have failed God, and we need help. And he says there in verse 12, the law is holy. The law is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Then he goes on to say the commandment is holy. The law is a good thing in that it reveals to us that we have failed God and we don't measure up to God's holiness. Romans 3:23, most of you know it. All have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. So the glory of God is here, which is perfection, holiness, sinlessness. We all come short. Amen? Every human being comes short of the glory of God. None of us will ever arrive there without God's help. And he goes on to call the law. First, he says in verse 12, it's holy. But then in verse 14, he said the law is spiritual. When we get saved, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts our heart of our need for Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's not the person witnessing to us. That person's just bringing the message. But it's the Holy Spirit that must reach in and grab the heart and convict the sinner that they need Jesus. And so he says the law is holy and the law is just, it's good. And then he says that it's spiritual. Verse 14, but I'm carnal. That word carnal means fleshly. That's one of the criticisms that he had of the Corinthians. He said, you are carnal. You're all living for the flesh rather than living for the Spirit. And then he begins to share his own personal struggle with his flesh here in verse 15 to 17, saying that even though we're born again Christians and we're children of God, we still live in a sinful body, don't we? We still live with this old man that still wants to do wrong. And so that's why he says in verse 15, that which I do, I allow not. What I would, that do I not. In other words, in my daily struggle, what I would, in other words, I know that's the right thing to do, whatever it might be, and oftentimes I'll listen to my flesh and do the opposite. What I hate, verse 15, that do I. So I know that that's wrong in my heart because I'm a Christian, and sometimes I still do it. I still sin. What I hate, that do I. And he's saying, where's this coming from? Verse 17, it's sin that dwelleth in me. It's coming from the old man trying to drag us down, trying to rule our lives, if you will, which we talked about that. Remember in chapter 6, we need to yield to God and not yield to the flesh because we still live in a sinful body that still wants to do wrong. And so Paul is opening up about his own personal struggle. In verse 18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. This is why a person can't get to heaven without God's help. Because they're sinners. We're all sinners. And Isaiah 64:6, let's look at that. Most of you know this verse. It's a good verse to have in your back pocket if you're witnessing to someone. But look what he says, Isaiah 64:6. We are all as an unclean thing. This next phrase is the key. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That doesn't say our sins, does it? It says our righteousnesses. In other words, we have nothing that we can offer to God that, if you will, buys our way into heaven. A lot of people think, oh, well, you know, people like Mother Teresa, people like that, they're so good, they're going to go to heaven. No, they're sinners. Everybody's a sinner. And some people do more good works than others. Doesn't matter. They're still sinners. And unless you get rescued from your sin condition through salvation, you will perish in hell. So he's saying there that in verse 18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present. In other words, the will to do right is always present. That's through the Holy Spirit. But how to perform it, how to perform that which is good, I find not. He's talking about the daily struggle with sin. Oftentimes it's wanting to do right, but not doing right. How do I do it? Now he's going to answer his own rhetorical question later, isn't he? But this struggle is real. And we looked in chapter 6 about it's all about who we yield to, isn't it? We either yield to the flesh or we yield to God. And then in Ephesians 4, turn over there if you would, verse 22. God makes it clear that we have a choice to make as God's children. We can either listen to the old man or we can listen to the new man. Notice Ephesians 4:22, that you put off, throw it off, concerning the former conversation, who? The old man, that you put him off, which is corrupt. What do you do? How do you do this? Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What has the power to renew the spirit of our mind? I was giving you a little hint here. The Word of God. Verse 24, and that you put on what? The new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we must put off the old and put on the new. And it's something, as we've been seeing in Romans, that we have to do constantly. Because this battle doesn't just end on a certain day. It just carries on. He says in verse 19 of our passage, the good I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. He's saying we all experience this, where we do the wrong thing, and we know it's the wrong thing, and we still do it sometimes. And that's because we're letting the old man rule us when that happens. And so he says, verse 21, I find then a law, this is a different law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. You know, I've mentioned it before that we're in a war. Well, part of that war is with our own self. We are our greatest enemy. Did you know that? It's not the devil. It's not the world. It's us. And this is what Paul is saying here. I find another law in my members warring, fighting against the law of my mind. And what Paul is teaching us is no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how spiritual we think we are, We're going to have to keep fighting this war every day. The war between the spirit and the flesh. Because they are contrary. Look at Galatians 5:17. They are contrary one to the other. Look what it says. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. What he's saying is they will never agree with each other. They are contrary to each other. By the way, this verse reveals why rock music is a mistaken church. Because rock music is designed to appeal to the flesh of man. And how can you appeal to the flesh of man to encourage worship of God who is the Spirit, when the flesh is contrary to the Spirit? You see, that's foolishness. Saying, I'm going to try to get your flesh to worship God. No. God said in John 4, He's a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. So you can't worship God in the flesh. You can only worship God in the Spirit. And so you don't come together to worship and then say, now I'm going to get your flesh all wound up so you can worship God. Can't do it. They're contrary. They're at odds with each other, and that will never go away. So the only solution here is to admit that we're in a war, and that the war is not going to go away, and never get to the point where we trust in our flesh to get it done. And this is where Christians fall short all the time. While you're hearing these books, look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul says, for ye are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And look what he says here in Philippians 3:3. Have no confidence in the flesh. We must never get to the point where we have confidence in the flesh. But you've heard me say this before, but let's say we've been teaching the same Sunday school class for 20 years. And it's Saturday night, we're preparing our lesson. Do we really need to pray about it? Because we know how to teach the class. We've been doing it for 20 years. Just go do it. You're good at it. That's putting confidence in the flesh, isn't it? You're not asking for help from the Spirit. You're not relying on the Spirit. You're relying on your experience of the flesh. That's very unwise. You can't have confidence in the flesh ever. Because the flesh and the spirit are contrary, and there's always this war going on. And so the Pharisees come along hundreds of years before Jesus comes and say, the only way you're going to get right with God is you got to follow all these things, these jots and tittles that we're going to add to the law. And if you do these, and don't do this, and this, you'll be good. Well, that people didn't know any better, they just believed them. So everybody thought they were earning heaven by following what the Pharisees told them. Look at Matthew 23 and we'll see this. And God says, well, guess what? That's impossible. You can't do things to earn God's favor. God's favor comes because of Jesus, not because of things that we do. Matthew 23, verse 4, look just one example. That says, for they, Jesus talking about the Pharisees, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Talk about the Pharisees saying, laying all this heavy burden on everybody. You got to do all these things to earn favor with God. And yet sometimes Christians try to do this to one another as well. But it's impossible to earn God's favor in the flesh. It's impossible to please God in the flesh. Let's see that in Romans chapter 8, if we could, which we'll look at soon. Down in verse 8, short little verse, look what it says. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? He's not writing this to the unsaved. He's writing this to Christians. And he says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can't do it. You cannot please God in the flesh. You must be in the Spirit to please God. And so he says, I have this war going on. This war in my members. Warring against the law of my mind. There in verse 23 of our passage. And he gives that cry, if you will, O wretched man that I am. It's always good to remind ourselves that we are sinners. Amen? And that will never change until we get the new body. Amen? We leave this earth through the rapture or death. Until then, we are sinners. And that's what Paul said. Who shall deliver me from the body? I'm not going to stop being wretched until I'm delivered from the body, the old man. Well, who? That's a rhetorical question. Who's going to deliver me from this body? Well, it's Jesus. Amen. That's what he says. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's who's going to deliver me from this body. And if you look in Romans 8 again, in verse 10, it's what he says. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Later on, he talks about how our body groans, looking forward to the day when it gets renewed. You know, we are triune beings. When we got saved, our spirit was made alive and our soul was rescued from hell. Our body, it's just that same old body for now. And our redemption isn't 100% complete until we get that new body, and then the war is over. No more war between the members and the mind. It will be gone. And Paul makes an interesting statement in 2 Corinthians 10, if you turn over there quickly. 2 Corinthians 10, 4. Remember he said there in verse 23 that there's a war? Look what he says here. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So there's no question we're in a war, is there? The weapons of our warfare, we're involved in warfare. But he's saying is that the weapons at our disposal are not carnal weapons. They're not things that we can touch. Our weapons are the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and, of course, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Those are spiritual weapons. And that is the only way that we can, on a daily basis, win this war that we fight. And as he says there in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer is always Jesus. We are more than conquerors to him that loved us. Amen. Romans 8:37. Jesus, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to give us victory. He says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I come to give them life and to give them life more abundantly. So Jesus is in us and he's come to give us victory, and we can win this war on a daily basis with his help. We're told, right, to be strong in the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6, and in the power of his might. We're told that he is there for us, as he told Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness, because when you're weak, you rely on me. So So we are in the middle of a war. Every single believer is in a war between his members and his mind, or the spirit. And as long as we remember that, then we will keep relying on the Lord. Amen? Now, sometimes the devil comes along and somebody's been saved a while and he just says, you know, you're a pretty good Christian now. That's a very dangerous thought to have. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So Paul said, O wretched man that I am, that's all of us. We're all wretched. And without Jesus Christ, we're wretched sinners on our way to hell. With Jesus Christ, we're wretched sinners on our way to heaven. But we're still wretched until we get rid of this body. And we must never forget it. And Paul continues in this book to give us the answers to how to win the war on a daily basis. What a blessing that we have it, this book, to guide us in that area. So, O wretched man that I am, let's pray. Lord, thank you for Paul's honesty and allowing him to write about it, that we might be able to relate to the struggle with our flesh. And Lord, that we would also learn, as he's been teaching us, to rely on the Spirit of God, to yield to the Spirit of God, that we might serve you day by day and get victory over the flesh through you only. So we are grateful that you have reminded us of this tonight, and I pray that we would live that victorious Christian life that you came to give us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.